Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, October 9th, 2021, Section A. West Texas Intermediate prices top $80 and surpass 7-year highs. Crude reaches levels not hit since 2014. Natural gas hits 12-year highs, by Mella McEwen. A global energy crisis brought about by continued constraints on crude and natural gas supplies and rising demand pushed crude prices to 7-year highs this week. West Texas Intermediate on the New York Mercantile Exchange rose 4 of 5 trading days this week and reached levels not seen since November 2014. Prices briefly crossed the $80 threshold Friday before adding $1.05 or 1.3% to close at $79.35 a barrel, up from $77.62 at Monday's close. The week's increase was the 7th consecutive weekly rise, the longest stretch since last December. Natural gas prices on the NYMEX reached highs not seen since December 2008, closing above $6 per MCF before sinking 64 cents Wednesday. Prices fell an additional 11 cents Friday to close at $5.56 per MCF. Global supply will fall significantly short of demand this month as economic conditions continue to improve, helping to maintain higher commodity prices. Ed Longenecker, president of the Texas Independent Producers and Royalty Owners Association, told the Reporter Telegram by email. China's decision to aggressively buy more crude oil to meet demand is further evidence of improving market conditions, which will likely compound the energy crisis in Europe, he continued. Longenecker went on to criticize the White House for continuing to call on members of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, to increase production while pushing policies that will depress domestic output. U.S. oil and gas production, he wrote, is among the most environmentally responsible in the world, with increasing levels of success in reducing emissions. Anti-oil and gas policies in the U.S. will not decrease demand, but will actually make environmental conditions worse globally, while driving up the cost of goods and services for all Americans. Bloomberg reported this week brought many indications that supplies will remain constrained. Saudi Aramco said a global natural gas shortage was already boosting oil demand for power generation and heating, and the U.S. Energy Department said it had no plans at this time to tap the nation's oil reserves. A weakening of the dollar on the back of worse-than-expected U.S. labor market data Friday also boosted the appeal of commodities priced in the currency, Bloomberg added. The economic recovery from the pandemic along with supply disruptions in the U.S. Gulf of Mexico had already tightened the market before rising natural gas prices spurred additional demand for oil products like diesel and fuel oil, Bloomberg said. The decision by OPEC producers and their allies to only modestly increase output in November threatens to further constrain supplies. Meanwhile, various underlying oil market gauges are also showing signs of strength, according to Bloomberg. West Texas Intermediate crude's nearest contract traded at the biggest premium to second month futures since August in a sign of rising demand and tight supplies. The so-called prompt spread has increased as more of the world attempts to substitute fuel oil for natural gas as quickly as possible. They don't need to buy it a month from now. They needed it yesterday. Bob Yauger, director of the Futures Division at Mizuho Securities USA, told Bloomberg, "It's a panic buyer's situation." Sparks to kick off Senate campaign. The event is set for 5:30 p.m. Monday at Tall City Brewery by Stuart Doreen. Monday, the Kevin Sparks Campaign for Texas Senate kicks off. The campaign kickoff is set for 5:30 p.m. at Tall City Brewery, 3303 West Golf Course Road. It will not only be the first official event of what is expected to be a long campaign, but it will give those in the area a look at the backing Sparks has received, especially in Midland, since announcing in August. Those listed as hosts to the event include former Midland mayors Ernie Angelo, Carol Thomas, Mike Cannon, Wes Perry, and Jerry Morales, energy company executives like Tim Dunn, Crown Quest, Travis Stice, Diamondback, faith leaders like Larry Gilbert, Stonegate Fellowship, and Roy Smith, True Light Christian Fellowship, and businessmen like Bill Kent, Don Tomlin, and Jose Cuevas, also a former councilman. Other endorsers, according to a campaign kickoff invitation, include Miles Boldrick, Dale Brown, another former councilman, Stephen Castle, Cody Campbell, Farrell Davis, Steve Pruitt, Buddy Sipes, the Sparks family, Kyle Stallings, and Nick Taylor. And introducing Sparks Monday will be current Midland Mayor Patrick Payton. "I am focusing on this campaign," Sparks said this week, "and building a team of folks to help me earn the votes of the people in the district." This week is also the first week with official appearances beyond Midland County. Sparks will go to Odessa for an event, not campaign-related. For a candidate in a district like Texas Senate District 31, building a base in Midland and Odessa is a requirement. Sparks' kickoff invite also shows support from Odessans like Frosty Gilliam Jr., Dick Salisbury, and Don Wood. Later in the week, Sparks will head to the north part of the district, including Muleshoe, Pampa, Hereford, Amarillo, and Perryton. Former Muleshoe mayor and former District 31 Senate candidate Victor Leal is also listed as having endorsed Sparks. "My goal is to represent the whole district. I have to go earn their votes," he said. "They don't know me. I have to go help them understand that I am their kind of person." Sparks said the kickoff and introductory phase of the campaign includes showing his values align more than other candidates, and even current Senator Kel Seliger, Republican Amarillo. Seliger, a former Amarillo mayor, was first elected to the District 31 Senate seat in 2004, but has not indicated whether he is running for re-election. Sparks said Seliger would have a lot of money backing him if he did choose to seek another term. "I intend to earn the votes, not put more money in the campaign than he does," Sparks said. "That will be hard to do." Sparks has enjoyed an extended honeymoon period since announcing because of a lack of candidates from the South, aside from Stormy Bradley of Big Spring. His extensive support in Midland and this week's endorsement from former President Donald Trump. The message from Trump included, "Kevin Sparks of the great state of Texas is running against Rhino, Texas Senator Kel Seliger. Kevin is a businessman, loves the people of Midland and West Texas, must win in order to protect our oil and gas workers, defend our southern border, our military and our vets, and fight for our America First policies. Kevin Sparks has my complete and total endorsement." I really believe on the policy issues that President Trump was good for our country, Sparks said about the endorsement. He is pro-American, pro-jobs, pro-people, pro-freedom of religion, more so than previous administrations. I'm honored to have the endorsement. That aside, my job to earn the votes of people in the district. Sparks also was at the Permian Basin Petroleum Association annual meeting when its luncheon speaker, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, stated Texas needed a senator that was in the oil and gas industry. When you look at the fact that the oil and gas industry accounts for 35% of total state economy, the fact that we don't have anyone in the Senate with any oil and gas experience is ridiculous, Sparks said. I do believe 100% that the industry needs to have representation in the Senate. So when we debate issues, the oil and gas industry is intelligently represented. MRT Forum, to be different test for candidates, by Stuart Doreen. The Reporter-Telegram will have Midland City Council forums for District 1 and at-large candidates this next week. The District 1 forum will be at 7 p.m. Tuesday in the Carrasco Room on the campus of Midland College. The at-large forum will take place at 7 p.m. Thursday in the Carrasco Room. The public is welcome to attend, and we also will be broadcasting on our Facebook page. I want to congratulate Basin PBS on its forum on Thursday. It was thorough and informative, and it appeared the candidates all did well. Our forum will hopefully build on the information that is out there on all the candidates. The goal isn't an introduction of the candidates. We have that information out there at MRT.com. The candidates also have penned their own opinion articles addressing the following topics: infrastructure and how to pay for better roads and water and sewer infrastructure, leadership during a pandemic, and at what cost do you upgrade parks in the community? Candidates will have the opportunity to provide a closing argument October 16th in the weekend edition prior to early voting. Still, our coverage has provided any potential voter an opportunity to know these candidates. I recommend taking a look at all the coverage prior to this week's forums. The hope is that what those in attendance and online experience is a conversation about governance and stump speeches. The easy thing about running for office is reminding people what's wrong, pointing out things that don't work, and filling people with grand visions about what they can expect. The hard part is to tell people the truth that government isn't easy. It is tough to remind people that more than 60% of the general fund budget goes to police and fire, which doesn't leave a lot left over for the supposed waste. It is tough to tell people that the reason there is so much construction happening in the community is that over a period of decades, we invested money elsewhere, spent it on things that are politically sexy, or became so enamored with lowering the tax rate that it was easy to put off the upgrades to roads and sewers in older parts of town. The discussions that take place will be about moving forward, what candidates realistically expect to get accomplished in a 3-year term, and what the challenges are for the next 5 to 50 years. Maybe we will get into governing philosophy and how that is impacted by situations like the Nueva Vista golf course, or if they are consistent with what people expect in an older city that is experiencing growth. We do know that Scott Dufford, candidate for District 1, has indicated that he will not appear Tuesday. We hope that changes, but the forum will take place either way. Reminder, The Midland City Council elections for at-large and District 1 seats will take place November 2nd. Early voting is set to begin October 18th. Also on the ballot will be approval to create the County Assistance District and raise the sales tax outside the city. Voters in Greenwood also will decide on a bond referendum. Shinati Weekend is back in Marfa. More than 30 years since the first weekend, the event has grown to be an essential part of Shinati's programming and an anticipated cultural event in West Texas. By J.C. Lewis. After a virtual year due to the pandemic, Shinati Weekend is back on at the Shinati Foundation, La Fundación Shinati. Shinati Weekend started Friday in Marfa with an open studio tour of Shinati artist in residence Alan Ruiz at the Locker Plant. Then Made in Marfa, which celebrates the creativity of the town, will be hosted during the evening and will last throughout the weekend. From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, new exhibitions will be on view, including plywood wall works by Donald Judd, paintings by Hyung Kyun Jung and Dan Flavin's Untitled, in memory of my father, D. Nicholas Flavin, 1974. There will also be an open house viewing of works in the Permanent Connection. At 3 p.m., enjoy an artist talk by Ruiz about ambient conditions of everyday life. An open house dinner in the arena with mariachi and tequila will be from 6 to 10 p.m. On Sunday, there will be a sunrise viewing of Donald Judd's 15 untitled works in concrete and 100 untitled works in mill aluminum from 7:30 to 9 a.m. New exhibitions and open house viewing of the Permanent Collection will be open again from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday. In October 1987, Donald Judd began the tradition of Shinati Weekend by inviting the local community and colleagues and friends from around the world to visit Shinati. Over the weekend, visitors could view the Permanent Collection, special exhibitions, talks, and music for free. More than 30 years since the first weekend, the event has grown to be an essential part of Shinati's programming and an anticipated cultural event in West Texas. Roar with Laughter returns to calendar by Mark Singh. It's time to enjoy an evening of laughter and fun. Midland Northside Lions Club will hold its fall fundraiser, the 18th annual Roar with Laughter Hilarity Review at the Hispanic Cultural Center, 1311 East Wadley, at 7:30 p.m., October 16th. 11 acts are scheduled, each about 10 minutes long, by mainly local performers. There will also be door prizes and refreshments. Is laughter the best medicine? And what is the funniest format? Why not investigate? Scheduled are stand-up comedy by David Herta, comedy with music by Patsy Allen and Dana Ritter from Odessa, Cajun jokes by Marshall Cooper from Lubbock, comedy magic by Bronson Chadwick, stand-up comedy by Chris Crawford from San Angelo, dances by Hispanic Cultural Center dancers, juggling and jokes by Phil Newell, juggles the Mary Flankster, a scene from a comedy by Maverick Players, a comedy presentation by Mark Singh and the Silent Heckler, jokes by Don Warren from Weatherford, and funny songs by Dr. Robert McGuire, who is making his debut in the show. Mary Lou Cassidy will be the MC. It's about serving others, especially young people. The proceeds will go to an annual Midland College scholarship and an endowment that is awarding scholarships. Lions Club's International Foundation for Sight Conservation, Disaster Relief, Youth Development, Humanitarian Needs, Diabetes, Hunger, childhood cancer and the environment, sponsorship of a Midland student to go to Europe on a Lions International Youth Exchange Program for 3 to 4 weeks in the summer, Texas souvenirs for Lions Youth Exchange students hosted in Midland, Texas Lions Camp for handicapped and diabetic children in Kerrville, Texas Lions Eyeglass Recycling Center in Midland, West Texas Lions Eye Bank in San Angelo, Lions International Peace Poster Contest held annually at 4 or 5 junior high schools in Midland, a new lion drinking fountain at a Midland park, support for about 18 local charities annually, and other club projects. These folks are helping. Thanks. The sponsors include Eye Center of Midland, Corrales Law Firm, Abacus Computers, Community National Bank, Mary Lou Cassidy, Pristine Organic Cleaners, Dove Water, Liberty Tax Service, Claydesta, Boydston Pest Control, Jewelry Pagoda, Vision Health Specialties, West Texas Gas, Great Western Drilling, Premier Retina Specialists, West Texas National Bank, Midland Westside Lions Club, Mike Seary, L&A Trucking, Bowler Equipment Service, Premier Energy Services, Oil and Gas Data Processing, Morales and Mays Financial Services, Corey Sly Electrical Service, Cargyle Investment Management, West Texas DJ Karaoke, KOSA TV, Permian Basin Office Products, West Texas Radio Group, Pepsi, Sierra Springs Water, and Texas Roadhouse. Want to participate? Platinum, gold, and silver sponsorships are available for $1,000, $500, and $250, respectively. General admission tickets are available for $20 each at Liberty Tax Service, Abacus Computers, Pristine Organic Cleaners, Jewelry Pagoda, and Dillard's. Visit the club's website at www.MidlandNorthsideLions.org. They are on Facebook, or call producer Mark Singh at 694-0147 or PR Chair Dan Corrales at 557-2654. Crime Roundup. Substitute charged with improper relationship. A Midland ISD substitute teacher was arrested Friday and charged with having an improper relationship with a student after allegedly meeting the male student on the dating app Grindr. The student told police that he and Randy Reyes, 49, began messaging after connecting on the app, according to Reyes' arrest affidavit. The two allegedly shared explicit photos, which were found on Reyes' phone. In addition to exchanging messages, Reyes and the 17-year-old student also allegedly engaged in a sexual act in a Midland High bathroom. The student told police they arranged on Grindr to meet in the bathroom, but Reyes told investigators he did not realize the student was the person performing the act until after it was finished. While looking through Reyes' phone, police allegedly discovered several photos of male students in class that appeared to be taken without their consent. The affidavit states police also found photos and a video of a Walmart employee taken without his consent while the employee was in a bathroom stall. After Reyes' phone was in police custody, he allegedly accessed the phone remotely from another device and restored the phone to its factory setting, which deleted all photos, videos, and messages on the phone, according to the affidavit. He has been charged with improper relationship between an educator and a student, tampering or fabricating physical evidence with intent to impair, and invasive visual recording. He was being held Friday at the Midland County Detention Center on an $80,000 bond. Teen charged with assault. Dimajon Hall, 17, was arrested Tuesday and charged with assault of a pregnant woman. The assault occurred following a verbal disagreement, according to Hall's arrest affidavit. He allegedly held the woman on the floor, slapped her, and broke her fingernails. The woman told investigators she was afraid of Hall because he had previously threatened to shoot her. Hall left the location of the assault and hid at a residence before being detained by SWAT officers, the affidavit states. While police were conducting inventory on Hall's vehicle, they allegedly found a bag of marijuana and a stolen firearm. In addition to the assault charge, Hall has been charged with evading arrest, possession of marijuana, unlawfully carrying a weapon, and theft of a firearm. He's currently being held at the Midland County Detention Center on a total $61,000 bond. Man charged with bribery. Alex Joseph Almodova, 33, was arrested Thursday and charged with commercial bribery in connection to alleged fraudulent practices at his body shop. According to an arrest affidavit, Almodova allegedly billed Classic Honda of Midland for repairs that were not completed or charged the dealership inflated rates. An employee at Classic Honda allegedly participated in the fraud and received a cut of the profits. The scheme resulted in a loss of $139,000 for the dealership. Almodova is being held at the Midland County Jail on a $5,000 bond. Local gas prices rise 10 cents in a week, by Stuart Doreen. Gas prices in Midland rose by 2 times the average across the state this week. AAA Texas reported that the average price of gasoline jumped by 10 cents in Midland. That meant Midland was one of 7 communities out of 27 in Texas to show an increase by 10 cents or more week over week. The state average rose by 5 cents. Midland's average also topped $3 a gallon. El Paso, where the price moved 22 cents week over week, has the highest average of the 27 metropolitan areas surveyed, $3.17. The price in Odessa increased by 11 cents to $3.09. Midland is third at $3.06. Other things to know about the price of gas this week include the price in Midland this time last year was $1.99. While the average has increased by $1.07 year over year, the average is up 99 cents since January 1st. Drivers in Sherman are paying the least of the large communities across the state at $2.79. Averages across the region include $2.81 in Lubbock, a 5 cent increase week over week, $2.81 in Amarillo, an increase of 2 cents, $2.85 in San Angelo, an increase of 6 cents, and $2.85 in Abilene, a 1 cent increase. Drivers in Texas are paying the 2 lowest gas price average in the country, according to gasprices.aaa.com. MISD to auction Lee items. LHS parents, staff, alumni, and community members have the opportunity to bid on Lee-branded items. As part of the renaming process, some items were unable to be modified to LHS or Legacy. MISD is making these items available to the community for purchase, with net proceeds from the sale going back to the campus. The auction started Friday and will be conducted by Renee Bates Auctioneers. Those wishing to see or bid on available items must register at reneebates.com. The auction is available online only and ends at 9 a.m. auction October 21st. Items will go to the bidder with the highest bid at the time of closing. Questions from bidders regarding the auction process can be directed to Brene Bates Auctioneers at 972-548-9636. Midland Police Department investigates vehicle pedestrian fatality. Midland Police reported that one person died early Friday morning after a vehicle pedestrian fatality in Southeast Midland. At approximately 6:11 a.m., Midland Police and fire officials were dispatched to the 2000 block of South Fairgrounds Road in reference to a vehicle and pedestrian accident, according to a news release. Officers arrived on scene and located a white 2017 Ford F-550 stopped in the northbound turning lane. The driver advised that he was traveling northbound on Fairgrounds when he struck a pedestrian. Preliminary investigation found that the F-550 was traveling northbound on Fairgrounds when the pedestrian was walking westbound across Fairgrounds, not in a crosswalk, when he was struck. The pedestrian, identified as 38-year-old Darrell Wilkerson, was pronounced deceased at the scene. At this time, next of kin has not been notified. The Midland Police Department has been unable to locate any contacts of the deceased in order to identify next of kin. If you have any information, please call the Midland Police Department non-emergency line at 432-685-7108. The investigation is ongoing. Pioneer and West Texas Food Bank to sponsor 9 school pantries by J.C. Lewis. The West Texas Food Bank is partnering with Pioneer Natural Resources to fund 9 school pantries in 5 school districts across the Permian Basin. As part of the Food to Kids program, the 9 school pantries are available to students in 5 independent school districts. Pioneer has committed funds that will stock the 9 school pantries for an entire school year, according to a press release. A collection of 23 schools in 8 independent school districts operate pantries in partnership with the West Texas Food Bank. These pantries are part of the West Texas Food Bank's Food to Kids program, which are open to students and their families. Your best guide to the Texas size garage sale. Senior Life Midland volunteers and staff have spent the past year taking in donations, organizing and cleaning for the Texas size garage sale that started Friday. This is an event any vintage lover, thrift enthusiast, or just bargain hunter won't want to miss. The weekend is similar to an estate sale, but on steroids. While most estate sales might have 1 or 2 specialty appliances, shoppers can find many different types of kitchen appliances, all at reduced prices. This is one of my favorite fundraisers for a local nonprofit during the year. By J.C. Lewis. My favorite items to look for at the Texas size garage sale include colorful cocktail glasses, glass or porcelain wares for decor, wooden bowls for decor, kitchen appliances. I love the fondue sets. Antiques will always produce a good find. Picture frames that can be used for pieces of art. The book section is great, and I always make a list throughout the year, then see if I can snatch up any cheap. The cardstock area has adorable birthday and special occasion cards, Halloween and Christmas decor, outdoor equipment, whether it be for the backyard or for camping. Starting a new hobby? The Texas-sized garage sale has tools for woodworking, gardening, and cameras, alongside plenty of sports and exercise equipment, plus almost any type of fabric. Sometimes the Texas-sized garage sale is a lot like an experience at Target, where you don't know what you want until you see an item that clicks. The clothing sections always have some nice finds, but it takes a lot of time to get through them. I suggest looking through the housewares and antiques before heading into the clothes. If you want to try on the clothes, I would suggest wearing tight-fitting attire such as leggings and a tank top to slip the clothes over. For time-saving measures, I usually just pick out what I want. Then if it doesn't fit, I donate it back. Also, don't forget to bring a bag or two or more to help carry your items before checking out. The sale takes cash or card, too. This is also a great opportunity to shop for some Christmas or holiday presents, whether they be small stocking stuffers or different items for loved ones in your life. The toy sections have a lot of gently used items, including some cool Star Wars memorabilia. Camera enthusiasts are sure to find some Polaroid or other vintage items. The sale also has gently used games and unopened puzzles, which would be a fun holiday activity for friends and family. This is by no means an extensive list of what someone might find at the Texas-sized garage sale. I suggest you go to it yourself and find some treasures. Don't forget that during all that bargain hunting, this fundraiser helps provide a third of the meals for Meals on Wheels for the entire year. The Texas-sized garage sale is 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. today at 407 East Garber Drive. There will be two additional days on October 12th and October 14th. 407 East Garber Drive. Obituaries for Saturday, October 9th. Carol Sue Barrett. Carol Sue Barrett passed away September 30th. She was born February 2nd, 1936, to Alice and Ernest Harry on a farm between Muleshoe and Morton. She married Beryl Clyde Barrett in April of 1977, and he preceded her in death. Carol is survived by Jody and Michael Curry, three grandchildren, one great-grandson, her sister Betty Taylor of Midland, and numerous nieces and nephews. A memorial service will be held at 10 a.m. Thursday, October 14th at First Baptist Church Chapel in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Carrie Oren Torgerson. Carrie Oren Torgerson passed away September 24th at the age of 77. He is survived by his wife, Janice O. Torgerson, and three children. He was predeceased by his parents. A celebration of life will be held at a later date. Those wishing to honor his life may make a donation in his name to the University of Mary Hardin Baylor in Belton or to a favorite charity. Gloria Urias. Gloria Urias, 67, passed away Tuesday, October 5th. She was born August 31st, 1954, in Ottawa, Illinois. She is survived by her husband of 37 years, Jesus Urias, daughter Elizabeth Natividad, son Miguel Angel Aguirre, daughter Rachel, and husband Javier Ramirez Sr., and her biological father, Jose Gonzalez, as well as her brothers, Refugio Ramirez, David Ramirez, Raul Ramirez, and Rudy Ramirez, sisters Minerva Galindo, Elizabeth De Leon, Dora Hernandez, Diana Rivera, and Irene Sotelo, 7 grandchildren, and 3 great-grandchildren. Gloria is preceded in death by her parents, Margarito Sr. and Rosa Ramirez, her biological mother, Noemi Gonzalez, siblings Pedro Ramirez, Margarito Ramirez, Sammy Ramirez, Ray Ramirez, Joe Ramirez, George Ramirez, and Diamantina Volden. Viewing will be held from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Sunday, October 10th at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home, with prayer service beginning at 7 p.m. Funeral services will be Monday, October 11th at 2 p.m. at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Funeral service is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin at nts-online.net or online at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Jerry Allen Leach. Jerry Allen Leach, 85, passed away in Midland Monday, September 27th. He was born October 12th, 1935, in Fayetteville, Arkansas, to Ruth McCarty Leach and Raymond Luther Leach of Dutch Mills, Arkansas. He married Arlene Shannon Leach in 1954. After Arlene's death in 1994, Jerry married Rosalie Cox in 1996, and they were married 19 years until her death in 2015. Jerry is preceded in death by his wife of 40 years, Arlene Shannon Leach, and his wife of 19 years, Rosalie Cox Leach. He is survived by his son, Tim Leach, and wife, Amy, 2 grandsons, and a great-granddaughter. He is also survived by Rosalie's daughters, Robin Moore and husband Doug, Nan Thompson and husband Alan, and Becky Flattery and husband Brian, and her many grandchildren and great-grandchildren. He also leaves nephews and their children. A celebration of Jerry's life will be held Saturday, October 30th, on the grounds of the historic Cane Hill in Cane Hill, Arkansas. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that memorial donations may be made to any of the following organizations: Historic Cane Hill, Post Office Box 83, Cane Hill, Arkansas, 72717. Arkansas Country Doctor Museum, Post Office Box 1004, Lincoln, Arkansas, 72744. Or Dutch Mills Cemetery, Post Office Box 849, Lincoln, Arkansas, 72744. Arrangements are under the direction of Lugan Buell Funeral Home. Robert Meredith. Funeral service for Robert Meredith, 64, of Midland, was held Friday, October 8th, at the Lee Street Church of Christ. He passed away Monday, September 27th. Interment was in the Serenity Memorial Gardens in Midland, under the direction of Jackie Warren Funeral Home. Shirley Whitman Matthews. Shirley Whitman Matthews of Midland, formerly of Jacksonville, passed away October 1st. She was born September 17th, 1930, in Waco, to William Whitman Jr. and Mary Ella Blanchard Whitman. She married Virgil Matthews in 1955. She was preceded in death by her parents, her sisters, Evelyn Gurley and Helen Hamlin. She is survived by her husband, Virgil Matthews, son, Mark Matthews, daughter, Karen, and husband, Bill Hardy, 2 grandchildren, and her brother, Bill Whitman. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to United Methodist Committee on Relief, umcor.org. A memorial service will be held Wednesday, October 13th at 2 p.m. at Nally Picklin Welch Chapel. A graveside service will be held at a later date at the Colfax Cemetery in Colfax. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Death Notice. Barbara Lynn Tynes. Barbara Lynn Tynes, 75, of Midland, passed away Friday, October 8th. She is survived by her husband, James Mike Tynes, son Nick Tynes, and daughter Shanna Tynes Dunlap. Private family services will be held with Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Odessa American for Saturday, October 9th. MCH and MMH Spearhead Mental Health Effort by Federico Martinez. Medical Center Hospital and Midland Memorial Hospital are launching a joint effort to improve behavioral mental health services in the Permian Basin. The goal is to eventually build a new facility that will offer both inpatient and outpatient services, MCH President and CEO Russell Tippin said. Currently, we have to ship people to San Angelo or El Paso for these services, Tippin said. It's mind-blowing that there's not a major medical health provider in our area. There's such a large deficit in our area when it comes to mental health. We need to address these needs. Tippin said he and MMH President and CEO Russell Myers have been discussing the issue for a long time and agree behavioral health services are the greatest need facing the Permian Basin. Both hospital boards have already approved the joint effort proposed by Tippin and Myers. Myers could not be reached on Thursday. The next step is to form a focus group to identify needed services, Tippin said. For example, should a new facility focus on services for youth, adults, or both? Tippin and Myers have already started discussing the project with federal, state, and local governmental leaders. The feedback we've received at the federal, state, and local level has been great, Tippin said. It's already growing legs. How much such a facility might cost, where it would be located or completed has not yet been determined, Tippin said. The project would need to be funded by a combination of local, federal, and state dollars. The first major hurdle will be funding, Tippin acknowledged. A joint venture like this will make it easier to get funded. This is another example of what we can accomplish when people work together. The patient is the winner. Local News Roundup. Permian Basin Walk. The annual Permian Basin Walk to End Alzheimer's has been scheduled October 16th at the Cimarex Energy Pavilion, 5514 Champions Drive, Midland. Registration starts at 9 a.m., opening ceremony at 10 a.m., and the walk at 10:30 a.m. All in-person events will implement safety protocols, including physical distancing, contactless registration, hand sanitizing stations, and more. Per CDC guidelines around crowded outdoor settings, the organization asks that all walk attendees be vaccinated against COVID-19 or wear a mask when in an overcrowded area. Masks will be available on site. For those who prefer it, a walk-from-home option will offer walk-day experiences through the website and mobile app. To register and receive the latest updates, visit alz.org/walk. Quick Hits. Pfluger Town Hall. U.S. Representative August Pfluger, Texas 11, will hold a town hall noon Thursday at the Copper Rose. The town hall will be open to the public and all members of the media. Celebration of life planned for Morris. James Lindsay Morris, a former mayor pro tem and a board member on the Odessa Chamber of Commerce, and a foundation president at Odessa College, Odessa Country Club director, and many others, died Monday, August 30th, at a hospital in Fort Worth. He was 82 and died suddenly of COVID-19. There will be a celebration of life at 11 a.m. October 30th at West Side Church of Christ, 4410 West Illinois Avenue, Midland. There was a celebration of life at Pecan Plantation Clubhouse in Granbury, Saturday, September 11th. Morris was born February 3, 1939, in Lubbock, to the late Earl Dyer Morris and Annie B. Joplin Morris. He graduated from Seagraves High School and went on to attend Wayland Baptist University. He served in the U.S. Air Force as a Special Intelligence RTA. His obituary says, Morris was extremely loyal and didn't believe in cutting corners. If you had him for a friend, you had one of the best friends on earth. But if you didn't, she said, watch out. Marilyn Morris said in her view, you couldn't have found a nicer person. She added that he was a huge family man and was extremely good at solving problems. She added that it was in his nature to be involved in the community. It was just his nature. Of course, he wanted Odessa to be a better place for everyone to live. He enjoyed people. He enjoyed doing things, Marilyn Morris said. Morris had many careers. However, the auto industry was his favorite. He was owner-dealer for Sun Country Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Odessa, Texas, Alpha Dodge, Wichita Falls, and Amistad Motors, Fort Stockton. Morris served on the Odessa City Council as mayor pro tem. He was a director of the Odessa Chamber of Commerce, board member and president of the Odessa College Foundation Board, Odessa Country Club director, Pecan Plantation Country Club member, Mission Dorado Country Club member, Rotary Paul Harris Fellow and director, Odessa Development Board member, national member of the Dodge Dealers Advertising Association, vice president of Odessa Industrial Development, UTPB Silver Committee member, member of the UTPB Athletic Council for the Permian Basin, director and treasurer of the MOHRE Board, and many others. He was an active member of the Presbyterian Church. Morris was also a member of the Professional Bowlers Association. He believed in making education possible for anyone who was willing to work hard. He provided scholarships to both Odessa College and UTPB. He donated uniforms, a vehicle, and time as well. He was a loving husband, father, grandfather, brother, uncle, cousin, and best friend anyone may ever have. Morris was preceded in death by his parents, Sister Carol Crump Burkett, and very special stepmother, Ruth Morris. Survivors are his wife of 25 years, Marilyn F. Eileen Burton Morris, son Jeffrey Earl Morris, and special friend Sheila Miller, daughter Kenron Eileen Huggins, sons James J.J. Huggins and John Brandon Huggins, sister Marika Sue Morris Doty, and husband David, grandsons, granddaughters, a niece, nephews, great-grandchildren, and many loved ones. Obituary and death notice from the Odessa American for Saturday. Emma Lou Kilgore Duncan, 82, passed away Tuesday, October 5th in Frisco. Services will be held at 10 a.m. Tuesday, October 12th at the Callaway Smith Cobb Funeral Home, with Lynn Parkhurst officiating. Burial will be in the Marlowe Cemetery under the direction of Callaway Smith Cobb Funeral and Cremation Services in Marlowe. Emma was born October 6, 1938, in Chickasha, Oklahoma, to William Bryant and LaRue Lena Goldsmith Harrell. On June 5, 1955, she married James Kilgore. James died February 1987, and on March 2, 1990, Emma married her second love, Melvin Slick Duncan, also of McCamey. Survivors include two daughters, Elizabeth Ruvelta and Barbara Dolan, four grandchildren, five great-grandchildren, numerous cousins and nieces. Online condolences may be made to www.callawaysmithcobb.com. Juana Mesa Flores, 65, of Odessa, died Saturday, October 2nd, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Tuesday, October 12th, St. Joseph's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section. Father Frank Chavez is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
Hi, my name is Caitlin, and I will be reading from the Odessa American for Sunday, October 10th, 2021. ORMC Director to Run Boston Marathon by Ruth Campbell. A relative newcomer to triathlons and marathons, Odessa Regional Medical Center Director of Education, Alan Espina, is heading east this weekend to run the Boston Marathon. There is a group of local runners who are participating virtually, and that version started October 8th. The qualifying time for his age group, he is 47, is 3 hours and 20 minutes. They also require a buffer, so you actually have to be faster. He didn't have enough at first, so he was rejected. But the Boston Athletic Association, which hosts the Boston Marathon, added more runners to the original 20,000, he said. I was fortunate enough to get an invite and switch it from a virtual, which I paid for, to do the in-person. All I needed to pay was an additional fee that included COVID testing, Espina said. He added that he still needs to show his COVID vaccination card. Espina signed up for his first marathon in 2015 in Las Vegas. And it was awful. It was raining. It was cold. It was late at night. It's the only marathon I think I've joined that you start at night because of all the lights and sounds of Vegas at the Strip. But I trained early morning, so I didn't know that you don't have to walk around or you don't have to do anything before the run in the evening. By the time I started running, I was already tired from all the walking in Vegas. So it was really awful, and I thought during the race that I will never do it again. But I mean, what's the point, right? But not even after a week, I said maybe you could beat my time, and it snowballed from there, he said. Espina added that representing the Permian Basin is very humbling. When he comes across the finish line in Boston, Espina said he will be a Boston marathoner. He added that he has not been athletic most of his life, and he just began running, biking, and swimming about 10 years ago. Espina said he got very determined to improve, and he improved his speed gradually. It has also allowed him to raise money for causes and people he believes in, such as children with cancer. He plans to do that with this event as well. He figures that for the people he is running in honor of, the pain, the suffering he will endure in Boston will pale in comparison for the year that those with cancer and their families have had to endure. His Boston run will raise money and awareness for those with childhood cancer in the area and give it to them after he returns. If I'm able to help raise awareness for childhood cancer in the area while pursuing a very personal milestone in my life to be able to run the Boston Marathon, then I take it, Espina said. He said he started at ORMC in 2003 and they helped petition him here. He is from the Philippines. They paid for his lodging and food. He worked in the neonatal ICU until he got the director of education position. Espina still works in the NICU when they need someone. What's good about Boston is that the supporters line the entire route. There is so much cheer and goodwill being sent to the runners, Espina said. There are Newton Hills and then Heartbreak Hill at the 20-mile mark. Espina said the cheering crowds will actually push the runners on and help them realize, okay, you're not going to die, you still have 6 miles, but get over this hill, and it's all downhill from there. And then the minute you go, you take a left on Boslin Street. You have to run like a little under a mile, and it's all full of people, Espina said. Espina said he practiced for the hills in Big Spring. Thankfully, we have a hospital in Big Spring, Espina said. He added that he has been able to walk and run around the hospital campus in Big Spring and in Odessa with running clubs in Midland and Odessa. He noted that the triathlons have helped him prepare for the marathon. I've never been very sporty, When I did my first, when I first did my triathlons, I just wanted to finish, and then you'll get that little sense of accomplishment because you finished it. And then you get a little bit more prideful when they award you with third place in your age group, even though there's only three of you. I probably have had that a lot. So I could, maybe, I could improve myself, Espina said. After Boston, there are more races to come, and he's looking worldwide to possibly the top races in the world. Aside from Boston, they include Tokyo, London, Berlin, Chicago, and New York.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.